For this year's Sydney Film Festival retrospective, a celebrated film critic and former festival director, and dare I say, national treasure, David Stratton will be presenting a program of essential films directed by Finnish auteur Aki Kaurismäki. Featuring 10 films, the majority of the films are specially imported 35mm prints, and Dave joins us on the line now to tell us more. Good morning, David.
Hello, Sophie.
How are you going?
Pretty good.
I mean, what kind of drew you to choose Kaurismäki for this retrospective this year?
I've always loved Kaurismäki's films ever since I saw his first one, Crime and Punishment. And there's something, I think, for these times that's particularly good to have a director who is so optimistic. He's about the most optimistic director I think I know. His films are all about people who have terrible problems. They lose their jobs, they're unemployed, they're pretty destitute, they're refugees. Whatever it is they do, things are really bad. But in the end, everything comes good. He loves happy endings. And I really respond to his sense of humor, which is a very dry, very, very subdued sense of humor. And I love the battlers that he features in his films. Plus, I love the fact that he always makes room for a song or two. He's very much into rock and roll, so there's always time for one of those. And he loves dogs. And there's hardly an Aki Kaurismäki film that doesn't have a really lovable dog in it.
Thank goodness for dogs. you've described him as the master of deadpan. Can you kind of tell us a bit more about his specific type of humour?
Well, it's hard to describe, but the thing about Kaurismäki is that he's never overtly emotional. There's a lot of emotion in his films, but it's always kept very much under the surface. And so his approach is, I think deadpan is really the right word, because, you know, it's just a sort of fairly still world that he presents. His camera doesn't move, it just sits and looks at his characters. And you can tell that pretty dire things are going on, but it's all done in a very low key and with a very quiet but definite sense of humor.
He's also, his characters, as you mentioned, they're quite laconic. They don't speak much. How does that kind of bring us along that journey through his films?
Well, you know, you don't need long speeches, I suppose, to convey what you're feeling. And he's very, very good at that. And his actors are very good at that, too. So that's the way he likes to make films. That's the way he likes to tell his stories. But the stories he tells are universal stories, I think. They're stories about battlers who are struggling to make ends meet, people who lose their jobs, people who that maybe a relationship has ended. There's one film in which a man has completely lost his memory, doesn't know where he came from. But the great thing about Kaurismäki is you know that because he is so optimistic that there's always going to be a happy ending.
Through this retrospective, the film's feature will span over 20 years of his work. How has his style and work kind of changed over this time?
It hasn't changed all that much, actually. I remember when I saw Crime and Punishment, his first film, I think it was in 1983. I had to review it for Variety at the time. And I think I wrote something like, this is a completely new approach. Crime and Punishment, of course, a very famous novel by Dostoevsky, a Russian novel, which he adapted and brought up to date and set it in contemporary Helsinki. And I think I was struck by how understated it all was when it's a story that in other hands could have been done with a lot of emotion, a lot of high drama. But he underplays everything, and how beautifully his camera just records what's happening. I think right from the very start, I thought this is a special filmmaker. Since then, of course, he's with one or two exceptions. He's mainly talked about working class Finns and their lives and their loves and their problems and their friends and their foes and so on. And his stories could be taking place anywhere. They could be taking place in Australia. I mean, Finland is an interesting country because it's a country, it's a large country, but it's the most sparsely populated country in the European Union. So, and most of the people live around the coastline, which is not unlike Australia in that sense, that you've got that sort of sparse population in the middle of the country. And so I think there are some sort of connections, even though, of course, in other ways, it's so different because it's sandwiched between Russia on the one hand and the Scandinavian countries on the other. So how has he developed? He hasn't terribly much. I mean, he made a couple of films in France, so he made films in French. He made one film in English. But the style has remained consistent all the way through. And he's influenced by directors like Robert Bresson from France or Ozu from Japan, who also were kind of minimalistic, very formal filmmakers. And he likes that too. But he's funnier than they are.
Do you find it interesting that his style hasn't evolved all that much over his career?
Well, not really, because a lot of, I mean, it's refined to a certain level, but he's been true to himself and true to what interests him. And I think the great filmmakers have done that too. I think you could say the same of Hitchcock or John Ford or Scorsese. You know, they have a style and they're recognizable. You can instantly recognize a Hitchcock film, and you can certainly instantly recognize a Kaurismäki film.
Yeah. Now, he's known for producing, directing, scripting, and editing his own films. How do you think this transforms his work? Because that's a lot on one person.
Oh, I think he loves it. And he also, the dogs belong to him too, the dogs that feature in all his films. I think he is the complete auteur, in the sense that the French critics first started using that word. Once or twice he's tried to do something different, and I think when he does something different, for my taste, it doesn't work quite as well. I mean, he made an attempt to make a silent film, a remake of a very famous French classic, which he made as a silent film. For me, that didn't work so well, and that's not in the retrospective. I mean, that's the other thing about the retrospective. We can only show 10 films out of his work. We've only got space for that, and so inevitably there are some missing that I'd love to have shown, but you can't do everything. One of his most popular films, of course, is Leningrad Cowboys Go America, which is about this crazy rock and roll group. He loves rock and roll. This rock and roll group who are performing somewhere in the tundra out in Soviet Russia, who somehow wind up in America and meet Jim Jarmusch, plays a garage attendant at some petrol station somewhere in America. I mean, it's just sort of crazy stuff, but it's lovely stuff.
You mentioned that, you know, you could only choose 10. How did you select the 10?
I just picked my 10 favorites. That's the only way you can do these things. And then after I'd done that, I thought, oh, dear, I wish I'd shown I Hired a Contract Killer. I wish I'd shown Take Care of Your Scarf, Tatiana. I mean, there's other things as well. But I only had the space to show 10. So I hope people enjoy the 10 that they'll see. There's certainly 10 terrific films.
Nine of the 10 films, though, they'll be 35mm prints.
Yep.
How would that kind of change people's viewing of his films?
Well, of course, that's the way they were seen originally, so I'm not sure that it will. I mean, these days people are used to seeing films digitally projected, which is, I suppose, the difference between vinyl and CDs. It depends how fussy you are about these things. I'm not terribly fussy myself, but I know some people are, and they love 35mm. I mean, it just means that people will see them the way that they were originally made and originally screened.
Fantastic. It's also being shown at the Art Gallery of New South Wales. Do you think this will kind of bring a kind of a different environment of how you kind of watch his films?
Well, we've shown the retrospectives at the Art Gallery for a few years now. It's a beautiful cinema. It's a lovely space. And there's cafes and things around in the gallery. I think it's a wonderful venue to show a retrospective like this. There's just one film that's not screening there, and that's because it's the only film that we couldn't get a 35mm print. So it's showing digitally, and the art gallery can't do that.
Fair enough. Now, you've been presenting the retrospects for Sydney Film Festival for over a few years now, and you feature the works of Kurosawa, which you did last year, as well as Scorsese. Are you going to be featuring a female director in the mix soon?
We certainly should. I don't know that I'm going to be doing it again. Depends if the Sydney Film Festival asks me to. But we certainly should. I mean, there were some wonderful possibilities there. I was thinking just the other day of Agnes Varda, who would be a great director to feature her work. I think it's a good point, Sophie. It's about time.
Well, let's hope it comes soon. And for people who have never seen Karasmaki, out of your retrospect, what's the film they should not miss?
Well, I think probably Drifting Clouds is the sort of quintessential Karasmaki film. I think if you're going to see only one, you shouldn't only see one, but if you're going to see only one, maybe see Drifting Clouds. The Man Without a Past is also wonderful. And of course, Leningrad Cowboys Go America is such fun. Those are all very good.
Well, David, can't wait to see it all next weekend, but thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you, Sophie. Nice to talk to you.